WGCH Sioux Center Time 751, second Thursday of each month. We check in with State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich for his monthly legislative update. Good morning, Representative. Welcome. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony. I'm doing really well. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. Well, let's talk about the economic status of Connecticut. Of course, always a contentious issue as we get in an election year.
Yep. You know, the data goes back and forth, and the arguments are up, down, and sideways. And having worked, 35 years on Wall Street, I have sat in front of analysts. I've seen deals. I've seen pitches. I've seen stories. And there's truth somewhere amongst the data, but it always gets manipulated. So I wanted to be clear because I wanted to get a read of the story. And of course, and the reason I want the read of the story is because assuming there's an election that I survive or prosper in November, I'll be up there as the vice chair of bonding, revenue, finance, having to balance the budget. So the data I can give you categorically over the last 12 months, Connecticut's real GDP growth has been 1.2%. Now, that may sound low, but that's 24th out of 50 states in the United States. Not a bad piece of data, given our low growth in the past. That growth is stronger than the U.S. average, which was 1.1% for that period. Three of the last four quarters in Connecticut economy, we were up first or second quartile for all the states. Now, the first quarter data, and this is where we're going to get into the weeds, Tony. It's a little bit, you know, people argue and it drives me crazy. So the first quarter data, the original numbers that were produced by the federal government and by our state agencies indicated a 1.4% contraction in the first quarter. Well, lo and behold, the data on a quarterly basis is very volatile. Lo and behold, the first quarter data is completely revised and it's up 5.5%. That's almost a 7% swing in the GDP data for the first quarter. And that 5.5% first quarter growth puts us second out of 50 states, right? You know, where we were previously 22nd. So the quarterly data, now I'd love to sit here and jump up and down and tell you, send me flowers. The first quarter puts us second out of 50 states. But what I'm going to tell you is that overall, the data looks pretty good. The data I'm impressed with. The second quarter shows a significant downturn along with most of the states, and that's about a 6% downturn. But as I said, I'm waiting for the revision final data for the second quarter. We had a 7% swing in the first quarter into the positive. I want to see what the second quarter, the second quarter, the revision might be slightly downward, might be materially upward. I want to wait and see what that data is. But people are going to give you doom and gloom. It's just not true. And I just want to make that clear to us. We're always, because of the decline in the stock market, people are inclined to look at data and get gloomy. But that first quarter looked damn rosy, and I want to see what the second quarter looks like. And I just want to make that clear.
All right. Well, so we'll from crime to, the economy to crime, another contentious issue. What are you reading there?
You know, again, when we get to electoral cycles, crime is always an issue. There's been a contentious story and battle. And, you know, the police unions rightfully were concerned and unhappy with the police accountability bill, right? So the questions on crime that resonate through our community, the questions of car break-ins, et cetera, that have been, you know, they've been not promoted but obviously advised. I think almost 100% of those break-ins have been cars where people literally have left them open and the fobs have been left in the car. And that's a matter of education because, you know, crimes like car thefts are crimes of opportunity. I think if you had talked to our police chief, he will tell you the same, that people need to lock their cars. It would help them if they would take their fobs and put them in their house and not leave them on the dashboard or leave them in the cup holder or in their glove compartment. And that's just a fact of life, you know, that requires, you know, more police activity at the local level. And that's a local issue, you know. You have to staff your police force, and you have to get them on the ground. Now, there on an accountability basis, you know, we're going to have to see how we do on the hiring and retention of police forces, which is a combination of what we want to do at the local level, and quite frankly, you know, where we are competitively. You know, I was on the RCM, and it wasn't that long ago that we eliminated pensions for our police force. And you know, when we talk about backing the blue, I think we have to ask ourselves, are we at a competitive disadvantage or will we be training a police force that ultimately seeks employment in other parts of the state or in other states. When, you know, as salaries rise, those pension benefits begin to take on a much more important factor in people's consideration about where they want to be long term, because those salary rises that impact what your baseline pension looks like are going to give you a hard run for your money competitively against the 401k. And so I think we need to think about that. Now, on the crime statistics, very simply, Connecticut, which has some of the highest per capita income, or the highest per capita income of all the states, has the fourth lowest violent crime rate in the country. And it was a low rate of 184 violent crimes per 100,000 people. And that's considerably lower than the country's average, which is about 379 violent crimes per 100,000. So, you know, those statistics are important to factor in. The state has experienced an overall reduction in crime. You know, we've had a 3% reduction in overall crime, 9% reduction in violent crime, and a 2% reduction in property crime. You know, over the last 10 years, we have had a close to a 40% reduction in violent crime and a 29% reduction in property crime. So naturally, any spikes or any short-term increases in crime are causes for concern. We read what's going on in the city, particularly in New York City and some of the other cities. You know, those are not functions of just New York City. Every major city in the country has experienced more violent crime after the disruptions of COVID and unemployment. But I can tell you that Connecticut is generically on a relatively and on a good path. It has a 10-year track record of reduction in crime. There may be spikes from year on year, but that trend is a long-term trend. And if you're not going to use a 10-year average or a 5-year average and look at the data, then you're looking at it the wrong way.
All right, Representative, I know we had to get some more stuff, but we're out of time, unfortunately. But,
I didn't mean to run the clock. I had more to say, but I will have to leave it for God willing. There'll be a call sometime in November.
All right. Be well and enjoy your weekend. Take care.
Thank you much. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's State Representative Stephen Meskers.